Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we have two of my dearest friends in the world coming on right now. We have Big Sister, the Bell Cow, Nancy Hitt, coming on. She knew Mr. Buddy pretty well, too. She's going to give her testimony. After all, this is a three-hour memorial to Mr. Buddy. We have two more guests to come in to testify about Mr. Buddy. Well, Gene Andrews really isn't a guest, but we're hoping he can make it. I know he's on the road. We're hoping he can call in, but if he doesn't, we'll cruise. He can say something next week. So we have Sister Nancy coming on. And then after Sister Nancy gives her testimony, Rand's going to – he doesn't know Mr. Buddy, but he's been listening. And he's going to talk about Mr. Buddy from what he's heard. And then the last 15 minutes of the program, if it goes right, James Edwards is supposed to come in because, once again, James Edwards and TPC, their butt was saved too, just like my butt was saved. There will be no Blood River Radio. There will be no PPC without Mr. Buddy. That's for damn sure. You can take that to the bank. But anyway, Sister Bell Cow Nancy, I'm so glad you're here. How you doing, Sister?
Fine, but you know what? I might have a gripe with Buddy because Buddy is the one that encouraged me to get in contact with you.
Oh, don't say anything bad about Mr. Buddy now. You know.
I would love your program. And next thing you know, I'm on the program.
So, well, that's the only...
I'll forgive Buddy.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Buddy did encourage you, because I think really what did it was Luca Brasi. When he came to your house, you said you didn't want to be on his hair. And Luca Brasi, he was the enforcer for The Godfather. And I think he's the one that really convinced you, yeah, maybe you should come on Blood River Radio. And he said, Mr. Buddy is right. If you know what's wrong with you, you'll come on the show.
Bragging about little Eddie. And so that was how this got started. But I'll go back to, I'll give what I remember. I was lucky to have Buddy Kirtland as a friend. We had become acquainted during my time while I was writing book reviews for the first Freedom Monthly newspaper, sometime between 2007 and 2018, he probably wrote in to the paper. And I know that I had gone to a meeting, I can't remember what it was, where Buddy was there, and I have a fantastic photograph of Buddy. But I know that the editor of the paper, Olaf Childress, really thought a great deal of Buddy Kirtland. Over the years, Mr. Buddy has been a generous donor to nationalist and moral platforms, as others can attest to and have already attested to, and as you have as well, Eddie. We talked sometimes, Buddy and I, sometimes, not frequently, but sometimes we talked on the telephone, and we always saw eye to eye on the U.S. predicament. I can certainly say that I will miss you, Buddy. He was a gentleman. He was a fine example of how to represent this disgraceful country, which I'm sure that he was quite embarrassed at what had happened to our country. What I thought I might do is just read a letter that Buddy sent to me that he was going to send to the Confederate veteran and asked them if they would run it. Now, I don't know if they ran it, but this is his letter, and it tells you a lot about how Buddy was thinking. He certainly was a pro-Southerner, and this is to the Confederate veteran editor. He said, in reading the letters to the editor in the January-February 2024 issue of the Confederate Veteran, I was perplexed by the letters of the two proponents of the Pledge of Allegiance. I have found that only two of the 160-plus countries around the world go through such a ritual: the USA and the Philippines. America's founding fathers never heard of such a thing, and in fact, it wasn't written until 1892, and by a disgraced former minister, Francis Bellamy, who was kicked out of his own church for preaching radical red Marxism. Now, let me note this, that when Buddy wrote this, it was only about a year ago, so he was in his 90s at the time that he wrote this very clear letter. His next paragraph is, one proponent of the pledge had this to say about us Southerners being proud Americans, end quote. We are all Americans and should be proud of that fact. There is much evidence of our Confederate ancestors being patriotic Americans under the Reconciliation Monument. That is what the monument in Arlington represents, end of quote. Need I remind the writer that the U.S. government has just done away with the Reconciliation Monument? Obviously, the word reconciliation is not in the Fed's vocabulary. With the removal of the Reconciliation Monument closely following the destruction of the statue of General Robert E. Lee and the endless eradication of all things Southern, it is plainly obvious that we are witnessing the Yankees' modern version of Reconstruction. Since 1861, we Southerners have suffered endlessly simply for wanting to be left alone, a phrase that was on the lips of our ancestors who were constantly facing the invading Yankees, waving their stars and stripes. I am compelled to ask, how long is one to lick the boots of those who kick you? Signed, H.A. Kirtland, Jr., resident, wow. Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Wow.
That's my buddy. That is Mr. Buddy.
I would like to have a copy of that letter and frame it. You're right, Sister Nancy. He was just like, I mean, he could outright an 18-year-old. His brain, his mind never dimmed any at all. God, that letter is incredible. Sam Francis of the old Washington Times, before he passed, he couldn't do any better than that. Sam Francis, one of the guys I really looked up to. But that is amazing. You're right. That is straight up vintage Mr. Buddy. And
He wrote it this year because I'm looking at the original copy that he's responding to from the Confederate veteran. So he wrote that sometime this year.
At 95 years old, because he would be, Mr. Buddy would be on April the 2nd. He would be, July 16th. If he lived to July, he would have been 96 years old. I mean, that's incredible. It really is. Well, do you have anything else about Mr. Buddy before we go to Rand?
Not really. Now, everything that has been said that I've heard, there's no need for me to duplicate much of what was said. I would certainly agree with. I would like to hear what Gene has to say if he calls in, because I did know Buddy. One of the things Buddy did often was to ask me if I would like to have some papers, like the Free Magnolia, generally the Free Magnolia, to distribute. And then he would mail them to me. And he has, I think in the past, he's probably mailed me a book or two. But I'll have to say this. I look at Buddy in some ways like my own father. I think Buddy was not only a gentleman, but he was extremely generous. And that is a rarity in itself.
Yes.
People always think about themselves. And yes, we all want to help everyone, but it's difficult sometimes to even make the effort. It could be just, even if we're going to send $5, we don't even do that. So I would say that my opinion of Buddy is just generosity to certainly things that he believed in. And I believed in everything that I could understand that he, everything he said to me, I agreed with totally.
He was definitely one of us. And, you know, Matt on the previous segment pointed out something that once he said it, it's made perfect sense that Mr. Buddy's generation prior to World War II was not, they weren't worshipers of war. They weren't blood, they weren't, didn't have the bloodlust that we do we have now. Well, anyway, we got to go take our first break of the third hour. Dear people, be right back. Hang on to your seats.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to throw a great thank you out there to Jay. Jay has been doing a magnificent job running this show tonight. He's our producer, and he's our everything. He's our tech quizzo. But I'd like to thank you so much, Jay, for running this story. You're very welcome. Jay is the man. We can always relax when Jay's on. Anyway, we're going to right now my brother. I mean, I can do consider him a brother. I love the guy to death. I love you so much. The Alabama Lone Wolf. You've heard me say it before, just in case you're tuning in, he is the Alabama State Chairman of the League of the South. He didn't know Mr. Buddy, but he's been listening to the entire program. And I wanted him, and he graciously said he would do it. By what he heard, the testimonies from Mr. Buddy, he wanted to come in and give his, to paint a verbal picture of Mr. Buddy from what he's heard. So go ahead. Also, I got to Rand, that little video you sent me, Rand sends me these videos off this gigantic tractor he sent. I guess that was out cutting, he was cutting grass to make hay. And it had some kind of beautiful music playing as he's showing this while he's driving this big tractor cutting hay. I mean, there is nobody. Rand is a dying breed. You don't have people like that anymore. Most of the people that live in the city don't even, you know what? They don't even know how to change a damn tire. Rand can do it all. He can construction work, build houses, drive tractors, work on tractors, stuff I couldn't even attempt to try to do. But anyway, go ahead, Alabama Little Wolf. Come in here and Say howdy-do to the folks and tell us anything you want to go with Mr. Buddy.
Well, you built me up pretty good, brother, but I enjoy what I get to do now, and that was our f- first cutting of the year, and I wanted to send you that little video. That was actually some real nice ryegrass that we're going to try to bale up Wednesday if everything goes right. But without getting into that too much, I just want to say I've gotten to listen to most of the program today, the tribute, the memorial for Mr. Kirkland. And it's been a very, very nice tribute. The things that have been said, you just know that they all came from the heart. You know, by the way they were said, they were all true. It just wasn't a lot of fluff and flap. And it's just been very, very nice. And from all evidence, Mr. Kirkland was, as y'all call him, Mr. Buddy, was the ideal Southerner. And you know, it saddens me that when we lose people like that, people that that understood the truths that so many don't get these days, don't seem to want to get. Whether it's about Germany, whether it's about the South, or whether it's just about our society in general. But it saddened, it had to sadden Mr. Buddy. He had to have been saddened from what he, I think it was Jason, I'm not sure, but someone said that he had lived when the South was still pretty good.
Yes.
And he saw the changes that have took place and went on, not only in the South, but in the American society as a whole. Of course, we concentrate mostly on the South, but I mean, the whole thing has gone to pot, and that had to sadden him to see that transition and the spiral down the drain that he witnessed in his lifetime. But you know, this is always said, but it's true. It's no doubt in my mind from what I've heard today about Mr. Buddy, that Mr. Buddy is in a better place than we all are. And I heard you say that everybody has a little fear of death and dying. And, you know, I heard somebody say, or read sometime, it might have been Pastor Murray, I can't remember, but it said when we let fear slip in, we let faith slip out. So
that's great.
Even though it's unknown to a certain extent, the scriptures give us an idea of what we got in store. And it's going to be much better than this short life here on earth, because it is a short life here on earth. Even if you live to be as old as Mr. Buddy did, who was very blessed, and it sounds like he was very sharp and had a good mind and everything right up to the end. So he had a very blessed life, and you can bet your britches, you know, just from what I've heard today, that Mr. Buddy is rejoicing with people that he hadn't saw in a long, long time, and he's rejoicing with them now. And if he can hear this radio program, which I'm not sure if he can or not, but if he can, he's smiling and he's saying, carry on, Eddie. He's saying, carry on, Blood River Radio, keep doing what you're doing to the bitter end, no quarter, fly the black flag.
Wow.
And that's what I would say, just from, I didn't know Mr. Kirkland. I wish I had, of course. I may have, I may have seen him maybe at some league event sometime and just didn't ever meet him and know who he was. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. He's a fine Southerner, fine gentleman, and losing men like him, everybody should be sad when we lose men like him, because there's nobody, it seems like, to replace him and to step in his shoes. Because as you and I talked just the other evening, Eddie, the South, everybody's talking about the South coming back. I'm sorry, but we have lost even the stock of traditional Southerners, not just people moving in that's not from the South or not from this country, but we have lost the offsprings of traditional lineage Southerners. And that's sad. That's sad. But for the most part, we have lost them. And I don't know how we're going to get them back, if it's even possible. But as you've heard me say on this program before, I still have confidence in that remnant. It's going to be a remnant. It already is a remnant. Not big numbers, but we don't have to have big numbers. We just got to go about it and do it in the right way. And anyway, Brother Eddie, I know you're going to miss your friend, as many others that have been on here today have testified to. And it's just a sad time. But anyway, my hat's off to you for dedicating this whole program to Mr. Kirtland.
Well, thank you so
I'll
much.
You
know, you have a great mind, friend. You know what, your mind is sound and organized. I wish my mind was as sound and organized as yours, where you go from point to point to point in a perfectly logical, eloquent manner, cohesive manner. But, you know, and thank you so much. I didn't feel like we could do anything else. Mr. Buddy, I mean, I don't know of anybody else in our, as you want to call it, we were talking the other day, said for this non-existent patriotic movement, I don't think we have one anymore. There's a very small few of us trying to do what we can. But and Mr. Buddy addressed that very point, and you addressed some of the points, hit right on some of the points he said. Since we talked about that, and I asked Mr. Buddy this question, I'm going to ask you, Rand. And you probably said it, if it is possible, and let me get this statement before I ask you the question. I agree with you. The South that people talk about, and I hope my brothers in the League of the South don't take offense, but the South, some of them talk about, a lot of them talk about, it's non-existence. It hasn't existed for 75 years. I saw the last of the South dying in the late 50s and very early 60s. By 1965, 66, the South, as we know it, as we think about it, was dead. And it came about, Mr. Buddy would tell you, throw that term out there, the Frankfurt School. These people in the Frankfurt School, these Jews that Adolf Hitler ran out of Germany in the 30s, they came to the United States. And there's a lot of people on this program that listen, including like our brother Rich Hamblin, that know a lot more about the Franklin School than I ever even thought about. But they said what they were going to do, and Mr. Buddy talked about this. Mr. Buddy talked about the Franklin School. Well, I didn't think of anything he didn't think about. He said that the Frankfurt School said they were going to infiltrate the institutions. They were going to have a long march through the institutions, through the grammar schools, the high schools, the universities, the churches, the Congress, the courts, the media, the entertainments, and they've done it. They have infiltrated everything. And when we come back, Rand, I'm going to ask you the question that I asked Mr. Buddy when we come back to this break. Be right back, folks.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News. I'm Corey Myers. House Speaker Mike Johnson and former President Trump convening at Mar-a-Lago in Florida to talk about election interference. Johnson emphasizing the link between election integrity and border security, citing concerns that the Biden administration's policies may enable illegal aliens to register for benefits.
Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits. Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote.
He announced plans to propose legislation mandating voters to provide proof of American citizenship. Trump echoed the significance of the upcoming election, labeling it as the most crucial in our nation's history. Gas prices continue their upward trend. USA's John Schaefer reports on your pain at the pump.
AAA is reporting a roughly 20-cent increase per gallon of regular gas over the past month. The national average now standing at $3.63 a gallon. Experts attribute this rise to refinery maintenance and escalating tensions in the Middle East. They do anticipate further increases in gas prices as peak driving season approaches and the refineries transition to the more costly summer gas blend.
The House passed a bill to reauthorize Section 702 of FISA, permitting intelligence agencies to surveil foreigners abroad. Critics argue it enables warrantless spying on Americans. An amendment mandating warrants for searching Americans' communications collected during foreign surveillance was rejected. House Republicans are split, with conservatives advocating for reforms. The bill now moves to the Senate before an April 19th deadline. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day, and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Oh, yes.
Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for hanging out. We got another half of an hour here. And just to remind you, James Edwards will be calling in. He's going to be hooking up early for his program, TPC. He knew Mr. Buddy. And I'll say it again. I know James will agree. There's a patch on James's britches and a patch on mine that Mr. Buddy had to put on, rhetorically speaking, to save our ass, because we would have lost our shows without Mr. Buddy and other people. But Mr. Buddy was instrumental. And nowadays, Mr. Buddy, we had other people come in, like Biscuit and like Jay-Z from Blood River Radio on AZ, and like James, my buddy Jim from Washington State, the Adams family in Virginia. We have Frank White from up north of Mason-Dixon line. We have Ken from Lindbergh, New York. Those people right now, Mr. Buddy was able to pull away, but for a while we couldn't have done it without him. And I'm sure James will tell you the same damn thing. But anyway, and before I forget, next week we have the first hour. If it didn't follow through, we have a very well-known psychiatrist. He's from Los Angeles, California. His name is Mark McDonald. I've been trying to get him for 2 years, and his secretary dropped the ball. But I wanted to get him on 2 years ago to talk about the book. He's going to talk about this coming Saturday. I'm just letting y'all know, heads up. He wrote a book called – he's a well-known psychiatrist. He wrote a book called The United States of Fear. Rand, when you said that your pastor talked about that when fear creeps in, faith creeps out, he wrote an entire book, The United States of Fear. Mass Delusional Psychosis, and there's a couple of chapters in there about the COVID. Hey, he said COVID was just, he said people were literally damaged mentally from, they were hurt bad, and they still are. He said they haven't recovered. He said the United States has not recovered from that fear. He talked about how detrimental fear, it's like cancer. But anyway, that's who's coming on next week, people. The first hour, Dr. Mark McDonald, a well-known psychiatrist, Los Angeles, California, will talk about that book. Anyway, Rand, I was going to ask you that question.
Uh-huh. What next weekend is Adolf Hitler's birthday?
Oh, great. We cannot miss that. We can't miss that.
April
we can't
the
miss
20th,
that.
135 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, we sure. We've talked about that the second hour, so we don't want to spook that psychiatrist off too bad. But anyway, if we come on, say Sig Heil. But anyway, Rand, I would ask this question to Mr. Buddy, and I said, it's bad off the country's gone. And Rand, you nailed it. Even our stock is gone. And I'm going to get this one last thing in before. I asked you this question. In fact, I repeated the same thing. I talked to James today, and about this trip that we're just bleeding. How the hell are we gonna come pay for this damn trip? But anyway, down to University of Alabama, about 1961, when the federal government came in there and at bayonet point integrated the University of Alabama. There was a man down there, and I asked James his name today, and I cannot remember his name. But he climbed the flagpole on the University of Alabama, right in front of the administration building, I believe it was, and took the Yankee rag down and put the Confederate battle flag up. Well, I told James this, and I told Rand, the same thing I'm going to tell our audience. That man's grandchildren right now would be probably in their 20s, maybe 18 to 30 years old, and they hate people like him. They hate people like their grandfather. I know a man, I won't mention the family, but there's a known family. I'm not even going to say where they are or anything, but there's that inner strife. The woman hates her dad and said he deserved what he got. I won't even say where he is now because I don't want to give it away. But that generation's brand that fought for the South tooth and nail, their grandchildren hate the stock. They hate. They may not hate their grandfather, but they hate the other people that were with him. I heard a woman who I used to run with. Her father was a Baptist minister in Arkansas. He's about my age. And she talked about how screwed up her dad was because he had all these redneck racist friends like me. And even though she would run with me sometimes with another group. But, Rand, is there any way to get it back? And if there is, what can we do? And also, in second part of that question,
Is it going to be able to? I think it's pie in the sky to say we got to have a free, and I know once again this flies in the face of the League of the South, we have to have a free and independent South. That's not going to happen. We have to reach out to other white people. Well, we don't have time to go into that, but I'm just going to ask you this question because James will be coming on in about 5 minutes. Is it possible to bring it back, and what do we do to bring it back? And if there's time, we'll get Nancy to talk about that when you answer your question. So go ahead, Red.
Well, let me say this before I try to answer that, Eddie. I've been involved with the league for over 25 years, and there's a lot of fellows that I deeply respect, Michael Hill and Michael Tubbs being two that I'll name. I already had the utmost respect for those two men before they went to Charlottesville to that Kanger Jew court and showed up to look them in the eyes. When they had a chance, they could have done it over the internet and not been there in person, and they chose to go up there.
That's right. So, that's right.
There's a lot of people that I deeply respect, and I don't mean any disrespect saying what I'm going to say. But over the last 25 years, since I've got involved with the league, and I'm not talking about the league, let's just say the movement, it has been in constant decline. We've had some good days, but you know, we used to get on street corners and intersections and have those beautiful flags, and we went to different places all over the South. But this is just a little evidence of what we're up against. Down here in rural Alabama, where I'm at right now, I'm standing outside in rural South Central Alabama. It used to be commonplace to see Confederate battle flags flying at people's houses, and even more commonplace to see decals and license plates and car tags of the battle flag. Very seldom now do you see one. Very, very seldom. But and another thing that I would just throw in there, and we talked about this before, but that television, it's rat poison, and our people eat it up. All that junk and baloney that's on that television, throw it out the door, people. Get rid of it. Get it out of your mind. Just what Eddie was speaking about, mentioned a while ago about how the COVID thing had affected people mentally. Well, I'll say that television has affected them 100 times more than COVID already. COVID just kind of gave it a little booster, no pun intended, but it kind of gave them a little booster shot of their already stupidity. I don't know what better way to say it than that. But I think it's evident, to answer your question, I think it's evident that we're not going to talk our way out of the place that we find ourselves in right now. We're not going to talk our way out. And I just think, we need to start having meetings, private meetings, not speakers, not so much promotion and the glitter and the and all, and I don't mean this, I mean, I'm just going to say it, but we need to start getting together and meeting and maybe making some plans, you know, and I'll just leave it at that.
Well, we got about a minute before we bring James on. Nancy, what's your 2 cents worth? We got about a minute. Is there any way to bring it back?
Let me say this, and I'm sorry to interrupt again, but us keep doing what we're doing and what you're doing and all your people on your radio program every Saturday, putting the word out, having the courage to say things that most people won't say even in a private situation to people, much less say it on the radio. So let's keep doing what we're doing as far as that goes, but it's going to take more. And I think Eddie and other ones know what I mean. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'll pass it back to y'all.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We got to bring James on in a minute. Well, go ahead, Nancy, till James hooks up.
Okay. I agree exactly with what Rand is saying, but I've made a few notes. And yes.
Uh-oh, we ran out of time.
Segregation, jailing, isolation, lone activist.
Just Nancy, we have to go to a quick break. Hold that thought. Next week when we bring on, we need to cover that. We got to go to James. After this break, James is going to come on and testify about Mr. Buddy. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. Time has just absolutely flown by. We have your friend, my friend, my spirit son. I'm his spirit sappy, James Edwards, like we said. And I know he would be the first one to admit it. Mr. Buddy saved his butt just like he saved my butt, just like he saved the League of the South butt, like he saved Rob's butt. Mr. Buddy was the most generous person I've ever known. And James knew of him before I did. So James Edwards is going to come on. Everybody knows James, TPC. He's going to come out, and he wants to tell him. Go ahead, James. Tell him about, a little bit about what you know about Mr. Buddy. Your feelings from the heart.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do that. And it's great to be on with you and Nancy and Rain. And, of course, you know, Keith is out tonight or will be out for TPC. He's still recovering from a hip replacement surgery. But we're always tuned in to Blood River, especially the last hour, and we're getting set up. So it's always good to hear you guys. But, situation, I mean, obviously I was heartbroken to hear of Buddy's passing. I mean, he certainly got his money's worth out of this short time on life, and even 95 years is short to eternity, which he'll be spending and is spending right now in heaven, as we know. But I can't even remember how and when I first met Buddy. The only thing I remember about Buddy is that he was literally always there. He was there from the beginning, almost like a godlike figure. But Eddie, when we first started TPC back in 2004, that was 2 years before I got married. So I had a little what they call discretionary income, which it took, obviously it takes a long time to build an audience and to earn the trust of an audience to the point where they'll consider giving you some financial support, which you absolutely have to have. And starting out in my early 20s, that was pretty much a self-funded endeavor, especially those first couple of years. And
yes, it was.
And then, but it was, Buddy Kirtland. Buddy Kirtland, what I would say about him just as a figure and as a man was he was a man's man. Not so much in, like, you know, some sort of a, you know, brawny brawler type of way, but he spoke softly and carried a big stick. And anytime Buddy spoke, you listened, and he was very wise, very dedicated, had a lot of humility. But he was a guy who really, yeah, I think as much as anybody, any single individual, especially in those early years, he is responsible for keeping TPC on the air. And he donated every quarter for years. I mean, up until about the last year or two, for all of that time. And I can remember, Eddie, I don't know if you can, but there was a short time in the early months of 2008 when we were off the air in terms of live production for about 3 months. We were switching
from a Monday through Friday
format to just Saturday onlys, which we've been at since the summer of 2008. But I can remember thanking Buddy profusely for keeping us on the air five nights a week as we had been for those first two or three years. And he had come, to all of our conferences, and I remember announcing him at one of the conferences, this man right here, and he didn't know I was going to do this. He said, me? But this man had given more to the political cesspool than any other single individual. It was just very selfless, but he was always everywhere. And if he hadn't kept us on the air, you know, I think by extension there might not have been a Blood River. I think it really all goes back, if you had to think of one guy, Buddy would be that guy. But he supported all sorts of causes. I mean, he was generous to Simon Roche and supported a lot of people across the spectrum. But if there's one thing that I associate with Buddy, it was his unwavering love and affection and devotion to the Southern cause. And that is, his heart beat for his Southern heroes and his forebears and for the Confederacy. And I know you've been talking about it all show, but his work, worked closely with Gene Andrews and was very generous to the Forest Home and to the League of the South. If I associate one thing with Buddy, it was his love for Dixie. And you can't replace him. You can't spare men like that. And when I heard that Rich had told me he was back in the hospital, I guess it was about the first week of March, because I was traveling to Knoxville for a dinner meeting. And anytime anybody goes into the hospital, I always try to send them a card. And I was I put a card in the mail for Buddy, which I hope he received. It would have been the first week of March, and the way the post office works now, probably got delivered a few days ago. But I think he would have gotten that card. But anytime he ever had something going on, I always wanted to send a card. And that's what you got to do, because I guess it's cliche, but you just never know how much time you're going to have left with anybody. You cannot spare men like Buddy Kirtland, and you can certainly not replace them. And I'm just very thankful to have known him. For all the times we met, I think the last time I actually saw him in person was probably a couple of years ago at the most recent reburial for General Forrest, and we were right there, right in front of the casket together, and I think that was the last time I saw him. But certainly had talked to him, and every year, I'll say one more thing just in recollection. I mean, I couldn't think highly, and I sent his wife, his lovely wife, devoted wife, a sympathy card. This week, and just said, you can't replace Buddy, but that she and he will always hold a special place in my heart until we're reunited in the kingdom of heaven. He was the best, a pilot for all of those years, and just a stalwart, and the kind of men that really made the country, the country we're trying to restore, what it was at one point. Certainly, I'm talking about the South in this regard, but he was the very best, and I appreciate you letting me come on and ramble a few minutes in recognition and remembrance of him.
Have it no other way. I would have it no other way. And this doesn't, I guess in a way it can be related to Mr. Buddy, but there was another certain person you came to, this person had just gotten out of critical care at a Methodist North Hospital, and you turned around. You and Danny were on the way to, you were already down in Mississippi, and you found out this person was in the hospital with some kind of a heart thing, and you turned around on a dime and came back and visited that person. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I try to do it, Pappy. You know, I am big on that. If somebody passes away, somebody's sick, I try to let it be known. You know, that's the times when it counts, I guess. But I'll tell you one more thing about Buddy. One thing that he was, you could count on it like clockwork every single year, right around the turn of the year. The first few days in January, I'd get a handwritten note. You know, he always sent handwritten notes, and a handwritten note reminding me to not forget to mention the Knoxville Horror, as some of your listeners may know. There's a short, very short period of time back in 2007 when I was an on-air contributor to CNN, and one of the times they brought me on was to talk about the Knoxville Horror. And Buddy always asked me to play that clip of me on CNN debating the NAACP chairman and to remember and keep the names of Channing Christian and Chris Newsom on you know, every year to remember them. And I will continue to do that every year for Buddy.
Yes, we both have to do that. And he also talked about the massacre out there in Wichita. Yes, he everything you said about Mr. Buddy, I don't know, and I know I'm not trying to – I couldn't overplay Mr. Buddy, but I mean, everything we said about him, James, I don't know anybody that he has not helped. Anybody in our so-called movement, I don't know anybody he hasn't – he saved the League of the South, but he saved the Montgomery Bell. Dr. Hill was on earlier. He saved Montgomery Bell. They were $10,000 short, Dr. Hill said. That time we were up there, and we were all up at the National Solutions Conference, and he saved that. Without Mr. Buddy, I mean, I can't think of anybody that has not benefited from him.
And he would travel, you know, even in advanced years. I would say, I'm so glad you made it. He said, well, why wouldn't I? And I'm thinking, well, you know, you're 90 years old, and I don't like – I'm 44, and I don't like to travel more than a couple of hours. But I did a little speech in a library, and I can't even remember the town in Arkansas. It wasn't his town, and he traveled out there. 10 people there in the Patsy were two of them, and – he was there. He was generous. He gave. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm all for you. I'm all for you. But, you know, they never put their head above the parapet. They never let it be known in any other way than maybe an email.
Got that right.
But he gave, and he gave generously, and he spread it out. And, that's honestly the least reason that I respect and admire and love him. I love him for who he was, but you know, you can't mention him and not mention the help and how much it helped. And how much it'll be missed. How much he'll be missed.
I've never seen anybody like him. You've done a great job. You've really come to the heart. You've given a good, from the heart, memorial, help, you know, tribute to Mr. Buddy. And it seemed like we could do another hour if we had other people. But I want to thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank you. Without TPC, I would have never gone into Blood River Radio. I never thought I'd be on the radio station with anybody, but I remember when we first went on. I've told the story many times how we were out in the bean field before I got to know Mr. Buddy very well, and we just raised hell out there, had fun. That's before we had a big audience. We could say almost anything without getting in trouble. But I would have never gone into Blood River Radio had it not been with TPC. That's for damn sure. And when I first started, I was telling James just today, and he remembers that. I said, you know, I can't possibly see staying on more than a year, because what can you say that you can't say in a year?
Well, apparently a lot. And I'll tell you this, one more thing. Got to remember the people who were the very first to stand with you. And Buddy was one of that precious first few. God bless you, Buddy, and Godspeed. We'll see you again one day. And thank you, Eddie, for letting me come on.
Thank you, James. Thank you. Thank you very much, James, for coming on. And have a good show with TPC. TPC comes on right after us. Well, thank you, Miss Nancy, for coming on. Hold your thought for next week. Thank you, Ram, for coming on. We need both of you guys on next week. I hope and pray you come. Thank you, Jay, for running a flawless board. We always relax when Jay's on. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. Thank you all the people that came on tonight's show. Rich, Matt, Jason, the whole crew. Good night, everybody.